course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too shabby. You know, just living the American dream. Did some yard work yesterday. Found a kind of a mysterious book out back buried, so might read that later.
Yeah, you might be a little careful with that. But that we are reviewing the movie Evil Dead Burn. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. We've got lots to do before then. Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Oh boy, nothing too crazy. I've been watching some ghost adventures, and so real life ghosties and spooks and stuff like that. And you know, it's always a good time. They're also kind of fun. Other than that, we rewatched Whistle. So Kayla had not yet seen it, so we rewatched Whistle together. She liked it. It was a fun time. Other than that, I don't believe that I've watched anything else this week. It's been just kind of a busy week.
Yeah. Well, me neither. Just my usual stuff. Supernatural, Criminal Minds, and Star Trek. That's been the thing. So there you have. Oh wait, what did I watch? I did watch. Oh well, I watched Project Hail Mary the other day. That's not horror, but that is a very, very good movie. That is out there now. I don't remember what that's on.
I want to say
Amazon, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, it's on one of those services, but a very, very good movie to watch. It'll get you crying in one part. So, all right then, let's move it on.
Stomp the co-host.
And as you heard, it is time for Stomp the Co-host. This is our monthly trivia game where we. I draw two cards from identical horror trivia decks. That means there's a total of four trivia questions that we alternate asking each other, and we continue on even beyond the four if need be until a winner is determined. So far in 2026, Ike is leading the competition four wins to my two. Ike, are you ready to play Stump the Co-host?
I surely am.
All right. Well, I usually determine, so I'll let you pick first. Do you want to answer or ask first?
We'll switch it up. I will ask first.
All right, go for it.
All right. Who wrote the short story on which the film Children of the Corn was based?
Stephen King.
That is correct.
I mean, even if you didn't know, if you just guessed Stephen King, you've got a pretty good probability of of getting it.
I was going to say, pretty easy shot on that one.
Yeah. All right. Very good. I'm liking that start. All right, Ike, here's your first question. What 2005 movie directed by John Gulager, or Gulager, G-U-L-A-G-E-R, was the first horror film winner for Project Greenlight? Man, I just butchered. Do you need me to read it again? I was kind of...
Yeah, run that by me one more time.
Okay. What 2005 movie directed by John Gulager was the first horror film winner for Project Greenlight?
2005 award winner. I can't think of anything that was happening around that time that like would have been big. 2005. I have no idea. I'm just gonna go out with a shot in the dark. I think this movie came out around this time. Is it Wrong Turn?
It is not. It's a movie called Feast.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that one.
I'm not sure, and I'm not even sure what a Project Greenlight is exactly, but guess we will need to do some research there. I don't know. Then, moving on. Round two for the questions.
Round two. All right. What Duffer Brothers TV show takes place in Hawkins, Indiana, and features a young boy's disappearance?
Stranger Things.
That is correct.
How can anybody not know, everybody not know that, even if you don't watch?
As long as you know that it takes place in Hawkins, like, I feel like that's like the big giveaway.
Yeah, really. Okay. Here is a quote. You are to name the movie.
Okay.
No, please don't kill me, Mr. Ghostface. I want to be in the sequel.
Okay, so that would be, it's one of the Scream movies. It's not Scream 1. I think, I want to say it's, oh my God, it's either Scream 2 or Scream 3. I know for sure it's not Scream 1. Or no, or is it a scary movie? Oh my God. Okay. Don't give me Mr. Ghostface. I want to be in the sequel. Or no, it was a Scream 1. Was it Tate in the or Tatum, yeah, in the
You're getting warmer.
I All right, I'm gonna go with Scream 1.
It is Scream One.
Okay,
Yes,
whew.
it is Tatum or whatever her name is, Rose McGowan. Yes,
Yeah.
she's the one that says it. I can't remember where she says it. If she says it when they're just talking about it, or if they're at the party when they're, yeah, but she says it. So,
I think it's when she was in the garage getting beer and
oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
well, because there's also because I was like, well, did Jenny McCarthy's character say that in Scream 3? Or
Perhaps because, yeah, it might have been in the script.
that's what I was thinking, and I was
So,
like, but I was like, I couldn't remember, and then I was like, well, I'm pretty sure they spoofed it in Scream or the Scary Movie where like
probably.
she's like, oh, don't kill me. Is this the part where I run and scream? You know.
Yeah.
So, anyways,
But no, it is in the first screen. So, there you
gotcha. Cool. Pulled that one out. So, all
go.
right. So it is now time for your third question. So we're 2-1 now. All right. What is the name of the ancient horned demonic spirit who punishes those who have lost the Christmas spirit?
Krampus?
That is correct.
All right, so I'm at least guaranteed a tie. Oh no, not, I guess there is no ties. Shit.
No ties anymore.
That's right. So if you miss this one, I'm guaranteed to win. Here we go.
Yes.
Not that I'm wishing it upon you, but yeah, a little bit. Wait, let me break my one wish willow here in. All right. Here's your third question. What legendary funny man duo encounter all kinds of classic monsters in their quote unquote Meet the Monsters movies?
That would be, oh, I it's on the tip of my tongue. Is it Abbott and Costello?
It is Abbott and Costello.
Okay.
Those are very good movies. I have them right here on
That's a, I
DVD.
was gonna say, I feel like I've seen a couple of them and they are pretty funny.
Yes, they are. All right, here we go. Final round. If I get the fourth question right, I secure the victory. Otherwise, it rides on your fourth question. So,
Yep.
which you will get your fourth question right. So, it rides a lot on me on this one. I could seal it, or we're going into overtime. That's the one I'm calling it here. So, here we go.
All right. So this is okay. Reverend Cotton Marcus participates in a documentary trying to expose individuals who fake being possessed in this 2010 supernatural horror film.
Motherfuck. Oh, I know this movie. This is remarkably one from this kind of this time period. Am going to guess, I don't know if this is right or not. I'm going to guess The Possession of Emily Rose.
No, it is from the same generation though. This is the Last Exorcism. The one
Oh,
yeah, the
yeah.
one you're talking about is the Exorcism of Emily Rose, and it
Yeah, oh
has
yeah.
the lady from Dexter in it who plays
That's
the
the only
sister.
thing that popped into my head. So,
Not too far off though.
balls. Here we go. Here's your fourth question. What was Candyman's weapon of choice?
Which would be a hook.
Would be a hook. Okay, so we are tied 3-2-3. Let's see. I mean, I have to draw a new card here. All right. So, oh, it's my turn to answer right now. Okay, so here we go. Fifth round. Let's see where we if we can determine a winner.
Let's see. I'm picking you a good one here. I'm shuffling my cards. I haven't shuffled them in a while. All right. Okay. What state does the trauma entertainment film The Toxic Avenger take place?
What state?
Yes. What state?
New Jersey?
That is correct. It is New Jersey.
Okay. So I'm up one. Let's see if you can tie me up. Stuntman Kane Hodder is best known for his portrayal as what character?
That would be Jason Voorhees.
That would be Jason Voorhees. Woo. Okay, 4-4 again. Here we go. Question five.
Question five. Or no, this would be question six.
Question six, you're correct. Yes, yeah.
Sorry, I was like, wait a second.
We each missed one. That's right.
All right. What actor stars in the horror comedy Shaun of the Dead, directed by Edgar Wright? Wait, what actor stars in the horror? Okay.
Simon Pegg.
Yeah, that'd be correct. I would say what actor stars? There's a lot of actors that star in that movie,
Yes.
but it is Simon Pegg.
Okay,
With
so I'm up 5-4. Woo! Here's your sixth question for the tie. What 1988 film, directed by Wes Craven, centers around an anthropologist sent to Haiti to research voodoo?
Is that oh shit. Is that Serpent in the Rainbow?
That is The Serpent in the Rainbow.
Okay. Phew. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
Me too. I don't even know that I would have recalled that. It's. Oh my. Here we go. We're drawing another card. So
Yes,
this is,
indeed.
what, question seven? Yeah.
Yeah, this will be question seven and eight here.
Okay, well, let's see if we, but see if we determine, because if we finish seven with one of us ahead, that's it. We don't need to go on eight. This is kind of a sudden death. It's just each question round. So ask question seven. Let's go.
All right. What brand of doll did Charles Lee Ray possess in the Child's Play movie?
Good guy.
Yep, that is correct. The Good Guy doll.
Boy, that's tricky because it's like almost you almost immediately just want to say Chucky. And if you don't think about that for a minute, you could really screw that one up. All right, for to tie it back, you either tie or I win. What is the name of the serial killer in the 2004 movie Saw?
That would be let's call him Jigsaw.
It has Jigsaw. It also has his other name, his real name too.
Oh,
But
it's John Kramer.
yes, there you go. I don't know if it except an either or, but I would have taken Jigsaw, but it had both on there. So, and I knew you knew it, so I was just gonna make you do it.
I did know it. I do like me a good Saw. Do you see they're coming out with a new Saw video game?
I saw that, yeah. I saw that they're coming out with a Saw video game. Yes.
That's ironically a little plug there for you
There you
guys.
go.
But anyways,
All
our next
right.
question.
Next round. Here we go.
All right. In the Japanese thriller Audition, what did the main character use to lure her victims? What did the main character use to lure her victims?
I could be in trouble here. The movie's called Audition. What did she lure?
Yeah.
Oh no. I've not seen this movie, so I'm just going to take some kind of wild guess here. Let's see. What did she do to lure? She used balls, balls, balls. I don't know. She used a dog. I don't know. She used a dog to lure them.
She used a dating service to lure them.
Damn. Okay. Tied 6-6. I've lost my my advantage. So here you go. You now have the chance to win, man. This is not that hard to win either. For the win. At the end of the slasher film crossover, Freddy versus Jason, which horror icon walks away holding the other's severed head?
So unfortunately for the win here, Jason walks away holding Freddy's head.
He sure does. Damn it. Why you get that and I get a fucking audition? I was on a roll. I don't know if I've ever gotten six questions right, and I couldn't win. Oh well. I'll be like that. Well, at least it's fun to play.
Lord.
All right. So there you have it. The July edition of Stump the Co-host in the books. Isaac extends his lead for the year to 5 wins to 2. So we'll see come August. See, come August, it'll be right around my birthday. So if I don't win, that's just gonna be that's just gonna, I think, be a sign. So All right, but we have lots of news and birthdays and anniversaries. We have lots of things to talk about. We're gonna have to try to stay on track, or else this is going to be a 4-hour episode. So let's take a breath, catch our, or excuse me, take a break and catch our breath, and we'll come back with all that news and such. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, folks, we have some good stuff here today. And like Dave said, we have a lot. So we're going to try and fly through this. We had so much to add.
Sure.
All right. Starting us off here, the next installment of the VHS franchise is going to be VHS SCP. This is a movie tackling the SCP phenomenon from the internet. Very big on YouTube and creepypasta. SCP stands for Secure, Contain, Protect, and it's a SCP foundation. No release date's been announced yet, but as someone who, again, has followed the SCP lore for a good many years, this is fantastic. VHS is the perfect format for this to exist in, and I do think that they could genuinely expand the VHS SCP into a whole franchise by itself, because SCP is such a large concept. For people who don't know, the general idea of SCP is that there are SCPs. They are entities, creatures, things that just exist that are secured, contained, and then we protect everyone from these creatures. So there are, you know, numbered creatures like SCP-1, SCP-000, SCP-1000, stuff like that. So yeah, I'm super excited for this. I think VHS is a perfect medium for something like this, because there are so many things and so many creatures in this universe. So I would love for them to reach out to some of those original creators, kind of like they did with Kane Parsons in the Backrooms, and maybe get some inspiration from them. So that would be very interesting. But yeah, enough rambling on that. I'm excited. I love VHS.
Yeah, me too. I don't even really care about the SCP. Whatever. They can do whatever they want. I love the VHS stuff. They could do VHS lawn mowing and I wouldn't care. I really just feel that they would make it entertaining and fun. So yeah, I mean, regardless of anything else, you had me at VHS.
All right, we're going to keep on rolling here. Faces of Death is now available on Shudder, and we will be reviewing this movie next episode. Pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. We were going to review this a while ago, but basically it had a very limited theatrical release. Our theater got like one or two showings, and it was like at 10 p.m. or something stupid like that. So, yeah, we decided, okay, we're not going to review it then. So we're like, well, let's review it now, right? Sure. Faces of Death was a huge thing back in the day, and the remake has had some mixed reviews, but I think we're going to decide for ourselves this time.
Yeah, I mean, we got to watch it for ourselves. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad it's on Shudder. I like that. I think yes. It fits on Shudder. I'd rather, honestly, no offense, I guess no offense to anybody else. I'd rather, you know, I'd rather watch it on Shudder than anything else, so.
Amen to that. Love me some Shudder. But all right, moving on. Backrooms is now available video on demand. So if you want something else to watch this weekend, feel free to rent this on video on demand. Gotta love it.
Right. It's worth it.
Oh, absolutely. And Backrooms will do great on video on demand. And hopefully they'll get it on streaming pretty soon. But
yep,
no,
probably.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Full review in the archives. It was great. Right. So check that out.
Go get it.
Amen. All right. And then Exit 8 is going to be on Shudder on July 17th. We reviewed this movie as well. We caught it video on demand, but feel free to check it out on Shudder. Again, full review in the archives. I think we reviewed this at the same time that we reviewed The Backrooms, didn't we? Or right after?
Yeah, right after, I think, yeah. Like, again, it's so cool. Fits right on Shudder. Perfect for them. Another, you know, again, we had the archives, but another fun movie to watch. So, yeah, I mean, not only can you watch Faces of Death on Shudder and all the other stuff, but, yeah, Exit 8's coming too. So, good stuff.
Absolutely. And then we also have Obsession going to be on Peacock July 17th, which is very, very, very like tomorrow. So Obsession, obviously, great reviews from us. Fantastic movie. One of the few movies that has spooked me in a while. I've been wanting to rewatch it. I'm scared to rewatch it, but I'm excited. We definitely have a full review in the archives, and we also have talked about this a couple times over the last few weeks. It's turning into a screen conversation.
And it won't be the last either. Once we get the movie of the year, our favorite movies of the year, it'll be in that conversation. So it's not the last we're going to talk about it. I cannot wait to watch it again. Monica hasn't seen it yet, so I'm going to watch. I'm going to hold off to watch it with her as my next rewatch. I love this movie. I don't foresee me just rewatching it just once. I really don't. But it's one of those movies that the parts that creep me out are going to still creep me out, but now I'm just going to know they're coming. So that anticipation is going to be like, oh, here it comes. But love this movie. If you've not seen it yet for whatever reason, here you go. Peacock, July 17th. Or if you've been waiting to rewatch it like we have, here you go. It's that time. Cannot recommend it enough.
Absolutely. And then we also have one little bit more news here for you. The Megan spinoff Soulmate is finally getting released August 1st on video on demand. So this never got a theatrical release, did it?
No, because remember Megan 2 bombed. So they kind of shelved Soulmate. And that's the, I don't know. I don't, it's like, I'm really not that pumped and not that excited about it. And not because what am I getting? What are we getting? Are we getting the first Megan? Something more similar to the first Megan? Are we getting something more similar to Megan 2? I don't like Megan 2. So I'm hoping, since it's kind of it's just a spinoff, it's not a direct, you know, in it, that it'll be a little more like the first Megan. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'll watch it. We will probably, I would venture to guess, probably review it. But I don't know what to think. I don't know how to feel until we watch it, which it's not a bad thing. But I'm not really excited for it, but maybe low expectations will lead to me enjoying it even more. Who knows?
Fair enough. But we might review this when it comes out. We probably will. I don't know if there's anything else coming out around that time, but we'll see. But we do have reviews of Megan 1 and 2 in the archive. So since we're talking about it, make sure you check those out. But we'll see what happens when this comes out and see what we get, see what kind of product is provided to us. All right, and that finishes up our news. Lots of good stuff this week. We're going to jump into our first birthday. We have July 16, 1971. Corey Feldman, of course, numbers role in Friday 13th, the final chapter, The Lost Boys and Gremlins, and many, many, many more. This is a great one. Obviously, Corey Feldman is iconic and truly, truly a generational talent.
Yes, I love Corey Feldman on so many levels, right? I love him as an actor. I'm not like a big fan of his music because it's not my style, but I appreciate the hustle. But one of the things that's coolest about Corey Feldman, I'm not going to get too sidetracked here. I mean, Corey Feldman's one of those guys that we can now look at that once upon a time people said, Corey Feldman's a little crazy. And now people are looking at him and said, wow, Corey Feldman was telling the truth. Because Corey Feldman was spilling the beans on a lot of Hollywood stuff before it was really blown apart, and people should be apologizing to Corey Feldman for some of that. And you know, again, I love Corey Feldman because I love him in the Friday 30s. I love the Lost Boys, and he's a big part of that. But I also love him because he was always, from what I've heard, what I've seen, Corey Feldman, he's always him and Corey Haim, man. He was always good to Corey Haim, and he always helped take care. And Corey Haim went through a lot of shit. And Corey Feldman tried to help him. A lot of people didn't listen. And, but he was always there for Corey Haim. And, so that's just the good. You know, and again, I don't know. You got to appreciate these guys, man. They've been through a lot of shit, and they come out pretty cool in the end. And I see these clips of him out there doing his, you know, he does a lot of music stuff now. And I see a lot of clips, you know, online of him out doing his performances and stuff. And it's not my style of music. But it's like, I always like, man, he's just having fun. He's just doing his thing, having fun. And I appreciate that. But again, I mean, I would love Corey Feldman just based on Lost Boys alone.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, Corey Feldman's been through a lot, but I think he's come out the other end for the better for the most part, I think.
Not only in the Lost Boys, but he was in one of the sequels too.
Yeah, that is true.
Which the sequels are whatever you want to say, but hey, at least he gave some continuity to it.
Absolutely.
Gotta love him.
All right. Gotta love him. Happy birthday, Corey. Hope you're doing well. We're going to jump to July 17th of 1964. We have Heather Langenkamp, of course, known as Nancy in Nightmare on Elm Street, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, and Wes Craven's A New Nightmare. She was also in that Netflix series, can't remember what it's called. But it's like one of those, maybe it's like Are You Afraid of the Dark remake or something like that.
Something like
or
that.
Or like the Something Club, I can't remember, the Midnight Club, I think. But no, that was a good one too, and obviously Heather is fantastic. You know, she's done quite a bit outside of this as well, I believe. You know, she hasn't always just done horror, but obviously, you know, it's hard to not be Nancy from the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
I mean, again, I mean, she's tied to Freddy in my mind, right? And it's, and I love it, but I love it even more because she was in three, right? Everybody knows that that listens to the show. I love three. She was in three. So I love that. I love that she was back for three. That really helped the movie to me. But again, you and I have talked, and we've talked about it a lot, how much we love A New Nightmare and how cool it was, how, you know, meta it was, how it was different. And if she hadn't have been on board, it wouldn't have worked, right? They couldn't have pulled it off. She had to be there to be a part of that movie, or else they couldn't have made the movie. It just, it wouldn't have worked. So it's, you know, I love that. I love that she was willing to come on and make that movie, because that was a big step at that time, I would have to think. You know, it's that was very different. And so you got to appreciate that, right? That she was willing to do something, to go out on a limb and try something creative, and she could see that. And I know you and I have talked about, I love New Nightmare. I think it's really underappreciated for what it is. It's a great movie. But I love her for her part in Nightmare. But again, just like The Lost Boys, I mean, you're in Nightmare 3, I don't care who you are, I love you.
Amen to that. But no, absolutely. I think New Nightmare is oftentimes overlooked because it does make a very stark attempt at being meta. And I think that it was a little tongue-in-cheek for the time, but especially when you look back on it.
It's ahead of its time.
It was.
It really, really is. Again, you look at it, and it's unlike all the other Nightmare movies, but in a good way, right? Because what were you going to do? It's like you have to do something different, right? I mean, or else you're going to get bashed that you're just, again, it took a swing. I mean, I love it. I think it's great. And it's, I really feel like it was ahead of its time, right? That's what a lot of horror has done since, is that meta, that taking that, you know, I don't believe in elevated. It's not elevated, because I don't like that. But I mean, it's just different, right? It's a little, I don't know how to describe it, right? It makes you think a little bit. It's got an added layer, and it when it blurs that line, right? The meta thing, it's just so cool. And again, they couldn't have made the movie without her. I mean, what would they have done without her? Who would they have pulled? Because, you know, it's no offense to anybody else, but right when you think Nightmare, you think Nancy. She'll always be. Nancy, she's it. She's Freddy's final girl. And again, I know there's been others, and I get it, but Nancy's reoccurring, right? She was in the first. She came back in three, conquering that to help others conquer that. I mean, that's a cool thing too, right? She was that final girl from one, came back in three to help other people, right? She was strong. And I don't know. I love Heather. I love Heather Blankenkamp. She's one of those people that I'd love to meet and have my picture with.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I love interviews. So, Heather, if you just happen to listen, we want to talk to you. Oh, by the way, Corey Feldman, you too, if you're listening.
That's true. Got to have
actually,
that,
anybody on the birthday list.
Actually, literally anybody.
Yeah, this is a real – you look at this birthday list that we're going to fit it. This is a kind of a who's who of some of Dave's favorite people.
That is true. Because we had Corey Feldman, we have Heather Langenkamp. And love then him. Next – we have July 17th, 1950, P.J. Souls, who, of course, was in Carrie, Linda, and Halloween. And one of the day's favorite movies was in Rock and Roll High School.
Yeah!
Fantastic.
Not a horror movie, but if you got P.J. Souls and you got the Ramones, I don't give a shit. That's one of my favorite movies. But
absolutely.
Yeah. And again, I love P.J. Souls. Love her. She was so good in Halloween. She was just so great. And again, I love Rock and Roll High School. I'm not saying it's a great movie, but I just love it because I love the Ramones. But I love it even more because Right. I love the Ramones. I would love the movie because of that, but because it has PJ Souls in it too, makes it all the cooler. But again, she's one of those people I'd love to talk to. I'd love to interview. But the thing, and I don't know if I've ever told you this, I actually know somebody through my love of the Ramones who is really good friends with PJ Souls. And
Really?
I've sicked him on her to try to get us the interview. And she was like, oh, I don't know. I don't like doing a lot of those, blah, blah. And I didn't ask him to press the issue. I said, hey, don't, you're friends with her. Don't push it. But, he did ask on our behalf once. And while she didn't give this hard no, she was kind of like, I don't know. I don't think I really want to do that in an interview right now with it. And so I respect that. But just so you know, PJ, so I'm not done trying. Someday I hope to get to talk to you. Not only about, I mean, I would talk about it all. I would talk about Carrie. I would talk about Halloween. I would talk about Rock and Roll High School. I just want to talk about it all.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's actually kind of fun though. I mean, that's a weird like 7 degrees of listen to their screams kind of deal.
Yeah, I mean, well, this guy I knew, I know, right? We met, kind of met. It was just an online friend, but we, I met because we're both Ramones fans, so we met through a lot of that. And he's one of those guys that knew a couple of guys in the Ramones back in the day, because he went to like he literally had saw he saw the Ramones like 300 and something times or something like that, this unreal number. So because of that, he got noticed and became friends with some of the Ramones, and through that. That's kind of how he got to know PJ Souls, and him and PJ and her husband are like really, really good friends now. Like really good friends. So I didn't rock the boat too much because I don't want him, I don't want him to jeopardize his friendship and whatever. But I said, like, if it comes up, just mention that, I'd love to interview her. I'd love to talk to her, not only about her acting, but I mean about the horror acting. I'd love to know what it was like doing a movie with Ramones and everything else. So, and he did say to them, he did talk to her one night and, or, like over dinner or something where he was having dinner. What a wild thing, right? This dude had dinner with, just blows my mind. It was just like a passing thing for him. Oh, yeah, I had DJ dinner with PJ. So I'm like, what? But, no, so he did have a conversation with her. She's like, oh, I'm not saying I would ever say, forever say no. It's a hard no, but. I don't think I want to do it right now and whatever. So I let it be. And so it is what it is. But it is weird. The connection. Social media is such a wild thing. This is on a tangent, but I have really made connections or just a couple of degree separation connections with so many people that really blows my mind. And if you'd ask like kid me, some of the people I've got to talk to and get to know and even kind of become friends with through social media and that convenience. If you told 13-year-old me, I would have never believed it. Such a wild thing. That's the positive thing about social media. There's a lot of negative, but anyway, long story. I still want to interview PJ Souls. Love PJ Souls. Happy birthday, PJ
Absolutely.
Souls.
Oh man. But no, it's very true there. It's a lot of fun and hey, maybe one day. Never say never.
Yeah, so cool at Halloween, man. She was right. She was at Trifecta of Friends with. Jamie Lee and her and what's the Annie Brackett, the Annie Brackett, the character, that's the character's name. But they were the three. I don't know. I know Jamie Lee gets all the attention for it, but they were to me very important in that movie, right? And the whole scene with the, I mean, you see that scene with Michael Myers with the ghost, right? The sheet over him and everything. That's hey, that's with PJ Souls. What a cool
That is
scene.
absolutely. But all right, we're gonna move on. We have two more birthdays here. July 19th, 1982, of course,
Oh.
Jared Padalecki, known for his role in Supernatural, House of Wax, Friday 13th, and many more. Obviously we love us some Padalecki here. He's great.
I'm
Love to see
swooning
it.
even more.
Love to see it. I mean he is great. He's another great talent. I mean, he's also
Yes.
in a pretty successful TV show, Walker.
It's a great show. I've watched it. Again, I'm not a Walker Tech. I'm not a big Walker Texas Ranger guy, right? But I watched it because it was a good show. He's so talented, right? He did an arc in Fire Country, which is a show I watch, and he was great in that. Everything he does is, man, he's so talented. But you hear all these, he's such a good guy. He's just such a kind, generous guy. But he deals with anxiety and things like, and he's very transparent, right? he's very, very vocal that people need to know that people like him, celebrities also deal with that too, so that maybe it'll help other people, right? But everybody knows I'm a Jensen Ackles guy, but I do love Jared Padalecki. I mean, I'm not knocking him at all. So good, right? Obviously, Supernatural, the House of Wax remake, right? But again, no matter what you think about the Friday the 13th remake, which I think it's a pretty good movie, and I know you like it. I know you love it. I know you probably prefer it over lots of the originals. That movie is so much better because he's in it. And he's so talented. And he's one of those guys that you look at and you wonder, why has he not gotten that huge break yet? Right? It's like, and I'm not saying he's not had a great career, because he has. But it's like, it's the same reason. I mean, you just look at him, you think, why is this guy not one of the most known names? Why is he not one of the premier actors in Hollywood? And now some of it might be by choice. He's a family guy, right? He's married. He has kids. That's important to him. But again, I'll stop. I could talk about Supernatural and the people within that forever, but especially like Jensen Ackles, Jared Padalecki. I love those two guys. They are the epitome of what actors should be, because they're not only talented, but they are such good guys, and they know, they appreciate people. They're kind people. And I just wish all celebrities were like them.
Yeah, absolutely. They're very good with fans. I mean, I see all the time them going to conventions, and I mean, they're just absolutely amazing with fans. I mean, just repeatedly all the time. So definitely big kudos to them. And I agree. I feel like he needs to get a bigger break somehow.
He's talented, man. He is so talented. And there is a lot of talk, right? I mean, I hate it when Walker was canceled, right? Because it was like, that was his show, right? But there is, back to the Fire Country thing, for anybody that watches that show, I don't know. There is talk that there might be a spinoff based on his character in that. So fingers crossed. He might get his own show out of that. Who knows?
I hope so. That'd be really cool.
He does have a Netflix movie coming out in the near future, though. I can't remember what it is. It's something about, it's about a celebrity and their bodyguard. I don't know whether he plays the celebrity or the bodyguard, but he's one of the two, right? There's him and someone. I can't remember. I don't remember the details. It's been a while. But it has been made. It is getting a big Netflix release in the future. So there is stuff, right? I mean, he does stuff. He stays busy. And again, I don't want to put words in his mouth, because he might choose, I'm sure he's very selective about what he does. And maybe this is where he wants to be, right? Maybe he doesn't want to overextend himself and be gone for too long. So I'm not saying if this is what he wants, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But he's one of those guys that you just look at and you think, God, and he should be somebody. And I wish he would do, selfishly, I wish he'd do more horror, right? Because why not, man? Like, he'd be so good in anything. I don't give a shit what he's in. I'd watch it. He was also in that, what was that movie? Cry Wolf. He was also in that.
Yeah.
Which, I'm not sure if I've watched it. Speaking on a side note, and again, I know I said we weren't going to ramble because we had so much. Have you ever seen the Jensen Ackles movie, Devour?
I have not. I've seen like a poster for it, and he looks funny. But
let me tell you this. Jensen Ackles is my favorite actor. I love him. I love everything. I swoon. He's my man crush. That man, to me, is perfect. And I will literally, I don't care what it is, I don't need to know. If he's in it, I will watch it. I have yet to finish the movie Devour. It is such a horrible movie. And it hurts my soul that I can't finish this movie and he's in it. Because it's such a bad movie. Oh my God. Side note.
I'll have to watch that. Have to go watch that here, Sam.
Good luck. And so, all right, sorry. Let's go.
No, you're good. Moving on.
I could talk Supernatural so much, so long. Sorry. Go ahead.
There you go. Last birthday. Thankfully, not a Supernatural alumni.
Thank God.
July 21st, 1955. We have Adrian King, known for her role as Alice on Friday the 13th and Friday the 13th Part 2. Adrian King has a sort of an unfortunate story, right? She's the one that was stalked for many years.
Yeah.
And so she kind of got out of acting as a result. I heard some rumors that she was going to have a small bit in the Crystal Lake prequel series. We'll see if that's still happening. But obviously, she did great. Her character was amazing in the first two movies.
Yeah, she is. And again, hats off to her because she has come up better in the on the other side, right? She completely disappeared for a while, but she has been back out there now, you know, doing appearances, conventions, stuff like that. But yeah, again, right, we have talked about it, right? She supposedly has something involving the Crystal Lake. I hope so, because she's fabulous. And again, when you these franchises, these whatever they are, but especially the iconic franchises, we talked about it with like Nightmare on Elm Street. You always think about Nancy, right? Because she was the she was the girl in the first one, the original one. It's the same with Adrienne King, right? She was in the first one. She was the final girl in that first one. And they've had, you know, lots of great movies, lots of great final girls, and lots of great women actors since. But there's always that man movie that started it all. There's that special place for that the actress in that. So, yeah, I mean, again, it's I hope she is at Crystal Lake. And we didn't mention that in the news, right? There was a trailer, a little teaser put out about Crystal Lake. Pretty cool.
Yeah, there was. It was actually really cool.
Yeah, and more coming out. And right, the October date coming up. And I don't know if it's official, but I did hear the rumblings that October date's when they're dropping the whole first season, the whole series. I don't know if that's 100% confirmed, but I hope so. Because I know when I start watching this, I don't want to stop. And so, you know, super cool. I hope Adrienne King's in it. You know, next to Scream and whatnot. I mean, Crystal Lake's one of the most talked about things on our show.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited. I can't wait, right? I can't wait for the whole thing. It feels like it's been forever. I can't wait. But if you have people like Adrienne King appearing in it and whatever, that's just going to make it all the more special for the fans of the franchise. So,
no, I absolutely agree. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. But until then, we'll go ahead and jump into our movie anniversaries. We're going to start with July 16th, 1993. We have Hocus Pocus. Weird to me that Hocus Pocus came out in July instead of like October. But
it is weird. It's like a summer blockbuster, but it's more of a Halloween movie. It's peculiar.
But obviously, Hocus Pocus is fantastic. Huge fan of it on the show here. Even the second one's pretty fun, and I've heard rumblings of a third one coming out at some point. Yeah. But I love Hocus Pocus. It's a yearly watch for me.
Yeah, again, me too. It's a Halloween movie to me, and I don't know the reception. I don't pay attention to it. But if anybody out there scoffs because right a horror podcast talking about Hocus Pocus, give me a break. Right, there's different degrees, different levels of horror, and we have talked a lot about right gateway stuff to horror, right? The you know Goosebumps and things like that. And Hocus Pocus is one of those mainstream type things that people watch that I really think leads a lot of people to watch more horror and dive into it more. And but it's a fun movie, right? It was a fun movie. The sequel was a fun movie. I really kind of hope they get to do that third one, right? Complete the trilogy. And because I'm sure it'll be fun. No matter what you think, right? Is it super scary? Nah, but it's a fun movie to watch around Halloween. It just fits perfectly.
Absolutely. I was going to say, this is one of those movies that's family friendly. It's kid friendly. It's a good starter movie to get people interested in Halloween and horror in general, I think.
But,
so.
And I mean, but we had to throw it in there because not only do we enjoy it, but I mean, Monica and Kayla would have never let us live it down if we hadn't mentioned it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Kayla loves Hocus Pocus. That's one of her favorites for sure.
Yeah, it's a fun movie though. It's a fun movie to watch.
Absolutely. But all right, we're going to jump to July 18th of 1980. We have Prom Night. This is the OG with Jamie
Lee.
That's right, yeah. Talking about Halloween and PJ Souls, but Jamie Lee was in Prom Night. The original Prom Night was a little weird. I think that the modern remake was pretty good. And I heard the other day someone was talking about revitalizing it again and making another movie. Don't know if that'll actually happen or not, but... yeah, that'll be interesting to see if they actually do that. But no, I love Prom Night. It's a great movie. It's a fun little flick.
It is definitely a good movie. I mean, there's a reason, right? If you do a new version of it, there's a reason. Right? The first one's, it's a good movie. And I mean, I don't know. Again, Jamie Lee's in it. If you don't watch that with Jamie Lee, what are you even doing?
True.
But yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a, but it is. It's a very good slice of 1984 and what it was like at that time.
No, it absolutely is. It's 100% a slice of the 80s. That's a very good way to put it. But all right, we're gonna keep rolling. July 19, 1985. We have Day of the Dead. This is the third in the series of the Dead movies from George Romero. Of course, we have Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, and then Day of the Dead. Day of the Dead's great. You know what I mean? It's
It
one of those
is.
movies that I think if you watch those three movies in conjunction with one another, it's a perfect trilogy.
It is so good.
There are great movies that came after it, like Survival of the Dead, Land of the Dead. Like, they get a little funky, but I love Day of the Dead, and I love its place in pop culture. It was a it was kind of an important piece of one of the seasons of Stranger Things. I think it was season 3, but oh yeah, I love Day of the Dead. I could talk about Day of the Dead zombie movies all day long.
Yeah, again, I think it's yeah, it's I would argue right probably the last of the peak of the remote or the Romero movies, right? I mean, not knocking into the others, but right, this like you said, that trilogy, right? That's the peak. That is the best of the best there with, and it's such a good movie. Not saying the others aren't are good, you know, anything that followed it, and I mean they're still producing, right? Still making movies that are spinning out of the Romero family in Georgia, right? I mean, he has whatever, a movie coming out that he supposedly was working on that he didn't finish and whatever else. But yeah, Day of the Dead's great. I mean, you got to watch it. It was, you know, it's if you love zombies, if you love horror, this is a must watch.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But moving on to July 19, 2013, we have The Conjuring. Obviously, The Conjuring is a fantastic film. James Wan, this is one of his creations, and this started the saga of Ed and Lorraine Warren in television and movie, in specifically. And it's great. There's so many Conjuring movies. They're continuing to make more, but this was the beginning 13 years ago. It's crazy to think about.
Yeah. And again, right, launched a franchise, so many good. It's weird because 13, I mean, it feels like it's been longer. It really feels like it, man, that should have been before that because so many films and everything else. But it is such a good film, right? Launched the franchise. Yeah, there'll be one, I don't know, nothing negative to say about The Conjuring. Again, I think it's if you're taking a class on modern horror, this is one of those must watch. Right here, so
Absolutely agree. I think if you're going to watch a modern horror movie, especially one made in the last 15 years, Conjuring's a great choice. But fantastic. We're going to jump to July 22nd of 1977. We have the original, The Hills Have Eyes. I do not know if I have seen the original Hills Have Eyes. I have seen the remake,
yeah.
but I know there is like some controversy with these movies. But I heard that there's a pretty big following for the original Hills Have Eyes movies.
Yeah, it's again, it's an impactful movie. It is one of those, again, one of those movies that if you want to do a dive into some horror history and you're going to talk about, you know, mid to late 70s stuff, you got to watch this movie. It's important into the history of horror, the evolution of horror. It's one of those, I don't like, it's like, I like the movie. It's not that I dislike it, but it's not one of those movies that I, just being frank, I don't. It's not one of those movies that I'm like, oh, it's one of my favorites, or it's I got to go rewatch that. Not that I can't appreciate it. It's just not, it's not necessarily one of my favorites, but I do appreciate it for what it is, especially from, you know, being from 1977.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I'll have to give that a watch sometime and report back. But until then, jumping to July 22nd, 2005, we have The Devil's Rejects. This is the second film in the, what do they call it, like the Firefly saga or whatever
Yeah.
from Rob Zombie. Of course, the first of these films being the House of a Thousand Corpses, and then what's the last one? It's like,
Three from Hell or something like that.
yeah, Three from Hell. Yeah, you know, I have watched part of The Devil's Rejects, I think. I was not able to finish it. I will have to go back and watch it at some point just for shits and giggles.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We talk about Rob Zombie. I've got mixed opinions about Rob Zombie. Again, I like Rob Zombie as a musician. I do appreciate his love for horror. I do appreciate some of his stuff to a degree, right? With, and some of the, he has created, like Captain Spaulding is a great character that he created, whatever else. But his movies, they're just not my thing overall. And, the Devil, to me, The Devil's Rejects is kind of the last even palatable movie he made to me. That's a me thing. I don't know anything he's done since. I'm just not, I don't know. It's like, eh. But again, I know a lot of people love Rob Zombie. They love what he's done. They love his vision. And that's absolutely fine. No problem. Cool. But it's just not for me, per se. And not that I don't appreciate Rob Zombie and his vision. And I love his passion for the genre. But his movies just... I don't think they're made for me. I really don't. But it is an important movie, right? It is, when you talk about modern horror, 2000 and beyond, his movies are still, they are still important. They are still prominent films during that time period. So we have to mention them, right? Whether we, this is not, a, you know, it's not an opinion piece here. It's an important movie that was released. So that's why we bring it up.
That's right. And then our last movie anniversary, July 22nd of 2022, we have Nope. We have the third in a trilogy of movies from Jordan Peele, of course, being Get Out, Us, and Nope. I love Nope, but Nope is my least favorite of his three movies. I would say that my favorite of his movies is probably Get Out, and then Us, and then Nope.
Yeah.
But I still love Nope. Nope is a great movie. It is just not my favorite Jordan Peele movie.
Yeah, I would agree. And again, right, another name that's divisive, right? But the good thing, again, the good thing overall about horror fans is, even if Jordan Peele's not your thing, even if you're not big on his movies, typically horror fans can say, it's not my thing, but I understand why it's important. I understand why it's there. And again, I do enjoy, overall, I do enjoy Jordan Peele, but I agree with you. This is of those three, this is my least favorite, but I still like the movie. But I, like we just said, even, with The Devil's Rejects, opinions aside, it's an important movie, and it still boggles, but it's still only 4 years old. It feels weird. I don't know what it is, man. My perception of time is just off, I guess, because it feels like this movie's been out forever. I don't know why. It feels like it has been an eternity since we've got a Jordan Peele movie. And I don't know. It's just, it's very peculiar. But again, I like the movie. But I don't think it's not my favorite of three, like you. I would go with that same ranking. I would agree with that completely. But he's definitely talented. And Nope's, I still think Nope's a quality movie.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like you said, quality movie. And like you said, there's always something for someone. It's just sometimes it is not the best of their movies, but that's okay. You know what I mean? Everybody's allowed to have that opinion.
Sure.
But all right, we've made it through. We have one upcoming release, which is Fangy. It's coming to Screambox on July 21st. And it's described as, a woman does everything she can to avoid her ex at a secluded house party until a supernatural virus begins sweeping through the party owners. That sounds like a fun time, but
hate it when that happens.
Right? Hate it when that happens. But all right, that does it for our news, upcoming birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. We will have a quick break, but when we come back, we will have our official review of Evil Dead Burn. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform, and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrasslepod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
Okay, we are back. It is review time. We said we would get through, no pun intended. All the birthdays and stuff quickly. We did take a little longer, but we'll try to keep the review to the point. We are reviewing Evil Dead Burn, written by Sebastian Venicek and Florent Bernard, directed by Sebastian Venicek, starring Sohila Yakim. I'm sorry, I butcher names. I hate it. Tondia Wright, Hunter Doohan, and others. It was released July 10th in theaters. It grossed $13,701,012 domestically on opening weekend. Good for number four. Number four is nothing to be sad about. This is right. We're in the summer movie market. This is the right. There's lots of big movies out. So don't hear number four and think, oh no, right? A horror movie at number four. Nah, we're competing with big movies here. So, we've talked about our love of the Evil Dead franchise, and Evil Dead Rise, right? And the others Burn. And what's the third we're going to be called? I can't remember. What was it? Oh, it's shooting a blank.
It's Evil Dead Rise, Evil Dead Burn, Evil Dead. Oh, fuck. What is it supposed to be?
Whatever it may be, we know it's coming out, right? And they've got
Wrath.
Wrath. There you go. And right, that's, we know it's coming. Here's my thing. We if you go in the archives, right, we do have a review of Evil Dead Rise. I love that movie. We love that movie, you know, as a consensus. Such a great movie. I enjoyed Evil Dead Burn, but I didn't like it, I don't think, nearly as much as Rise. I thought it was a good movie, but it didn't, I don't feel that flowed story-wise as well as Rise did. I appreciated it. I liked it. Evil Dead Burn, though, and this may be a me thing, it felt to me like Rise happened. They had this great movie, and all the things that made Rise what it was, they felt like they went to Evil Dead Burn. They're like, okay, we got to put a little bit of that in here then, right? We got to do that. We got to have some of the... Here's the thing. Evil Dead Burn, if you're just in it for cringe, Evil Dead Burn has so many cringe-worthy moments. There were movies, here's my thing, and I'm not saying this in a bad, negative way. There were moments in Evil Dead Burn that I'm calling disgusting. Because, I'm not saying that in a, it shouldn't be in there. They hit on some of the things that just absolutely disgust me personally. There's a scene with involving the dentures in Evil Dead Burn that I'm like, oh, yeah. Fuck. That I couldn't watch it, and it wasn't because of blood. It wasn't because of gore. There was none of that. This was just a personal OCD, my autistic brain looking at it like, I can't watch that. That's gross. It hit those nerves for me. I struggled because I wanted to love this movie so much. And I felt like they put some things in this movie just trying to get you to react. And it didn't necessarily flow with the movie as much as it should have. There were just some spots that I felt they put in just to try to set that bar high for what they've established. Where Evil Dead Rise had some of those moments, but it felt like it was just part of the story. And it flowed. Evil Dead Burn, it felt like, I don't know. It didn't flow the same way for me. I'm not saying it was bad or horrible. I did enjoy the movie. I didn't enjoy this nearly as much as Rise. Again, I like the movie. I've not lost hope for, you know, the last one, whatever else. I don't feel like this is not the movie I wanted. I will say, credit scenes, the best part of the movie for me. Particularly, did you see the credit scenes, Ike?
I don't think I stuck around for it.
Okay. I will say the final credits, the mid-credit scene was just kind of fits with the movie. If you have not seen this yet and you plan to go see it, you've got to stick around for the second, the end credit scene, because bam, it made it for me. And because I love Evil Dead Rise, that end credit scene just made me happy. So I won't say any more than that. Ooh, it's like I want to say something. I have a line I want to say so bad, but I can't say it because we're trying not to be spoiler. But there are two words, and if you really want to know, just all you gotta do is Google Evil Dead Burn final credit scene, and you'll probably know these two words. It made me happy. And that's what makes me so happy for the third movie in this trilogy, because I'm hoping for the anyway. Burn was not a bad movie. If you like blood and you like gore, of course, right? That's what you expect a lot of that out of Evil Dead. This movie provided that. But I just felt story-wise, storytelling-wise, I don't feel like it was as strong as Rise was. Wasn't bad, wasn't horrible. It didn't flow. It just didn't. Even to the point of, I don't know that Evil Dead Burns even up there for one of my favorite movies of the year so far. I like the movie. I enjoyed the movie, but I don't think it's up there like I expected it would be. Would I say go as far as to say I'm disappointed? You know what? I will say that I am a little disappointed only because I had the bar so high. I had it so high, and I don't feel like it reached it. That might be a me thing. Again, not a bad movie, not what I hoped for. Part of that might be just I love Evil Dead Rise so much. It was such a fantastic movie. So that's my thing. That's what I'm thinking. I know that's a roundabout way to say, I didn't hate the movie, but it's like, oh, it's almost like an abusive relationship. It's like, I kind of hate you, but I still love you. I mean, it's still Evil Dead, right? It still had that, right? It still had parts that maybe said, yeah, this is Evil Dead. But then there's parts like, come on, you're Evil Dead. Do a little more. I don't know. It was conflicting to me. Ike, what do you think about Evil Dead Burn?
I think that my general opinion is just going to be that I did enjoy the movie. I thought that it was a fun movie. I enjoyed the theatrics of it. The effects
Yes.
were fun.
Yes.
I enjoyed all of the surface level stuff about this movie, but I do feel like that it lacked a little bit of that Evil Dead flair, that Sam Raimi flair.
Yeah, right. It's like it was just some of the meat missing or something, right? It was just
It's
stop
like
wanting there.
I got a burrito bowl from Hot Head Burritos, which if you guys have never had Hot Head Burritos, it's
There
right
you
here.
go. Yeah.
It's like you had a burrito from Hot Head Burritos. You asked for steak, but they gave you like those like that veggie meat substitute, and you're like,
Yeah.
it's not bad. Like,
I don't hate it, but it's not what I
I don't hate
wanted.
it, but it's not what I want. Exactly. That's what it
Yeah.
was for me. It was a burrito bowl that I asked for a specific way, and they didn't give it to me the way I wanted it.
I went into it wanting one thing, and it's like what they gave me. I was like, I don't hate that, but that's not what I thought, right? That's not what I wanted. That's not what I thought you were giving me after Rise. It's not
Exactly.
bad, but is that Evil Dead good? I don't know. It's
And my mentality.
if you took this movie and it wasn't in Evil Dead, the Evil Dead franchise, I would have liked it more probably. Independent of that, right? I don't know. It was weird. It's very weird.
Well, that's the thing too, is that it's one of those situations where it's like Evil Dead Rise set us on a specific trajectory, and I was very much expecting that movie, that trajectory, that series, but
Yeah.
it just feels like it kind of wibbly. It was a little wibbly wobbly, and I don't know. I feel like this next movie, Wrath, could completely change my mind.
I
Maybe this was
agree.
all for a reason.
I
It,
agree.
but then I think back to The Strangers, and that's what we said about The Strangers. That's what we said
Yep.
about the second and third movie, and that kind of shit out on us a little bit.
Yep.
But to be fair, Evil Dead Rise was not Ch Strangers Chapter One. Evil Dead
Correct.
Rise was like Strangers 2003. So I think that we have at least a more, we have a modicum, a percentage more possibility of this being really good. So I'm not going to say I hated it, but I'm definitely not going to say that I loved it. I think it's very middle of the ground comparatively. Yeah. So, and here's the thing too, I would love to rewatch this movie because maybe a second watch would change my opinion. I don't know. But I don't know. I don't know. Right now, initial gut, that's what I'm saying. I liked it. I liked the surface level stuff. The gore and the violence and the cringe was all there because that's what I expected from the other Evil Dead movies. But, man, it was just missing something. And hopefully Wrath is that something.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, again, it's like I love Rise. Man, Rise was so damn good. Such a good movie. And it's like, did I think that I want this to be that? Yeah, oh, I wanted it to. But I was like, just at least get close, right? At least be that realm. And I don't feel like it was quite there. It was a little disconjoined. But I also have that ability to step back and say, okay, we're talking, there's a trilogy here.
Yeah.
Will that third movie, are we talking, this is a bridge, right? Could the third movie bring it around? And make us look at this movie differently and say, oh, okay, maybe, but we don't know yet. We don't have that context yet. So where we sit right now, this movie let me down a little bit.
Yeah.
But, hey, let's revisit next year, I think, when the next movie comes out, right? Next year. I don't think we have to wait. So let's wait. What happens? Maybe we revisit when we see that movie. It might be different. But all we have to go by right now is what we saw. It had points. It had moments. It had some spots. But, man, overall, Burn ain't no Rise. So,
yeah.
But, again, is that an unfair comparison? Maybe. I don't know. But, again, didn't hate it. Just, I wanted so much more. I love my Evil Dead. This is one of my most anticipated movies of the year. And, so I feel a little let down in the current. I'll get over it. I'll be okay. Looking forward to seeing that third movie. Looking forward to seeing all three linear, right, in as a trilogy. Maybe that'll completely change the context of the story. I still have faith in the big picture. So let's see what happens with that. And let's hope I'm just not a fool. Okay, so to rate this thing, again, I didn't hate the movie. But I didn't super love it. I don't think there's anything super earth-shaking in it. So I'm just going to be safe and comfortable, and I'm going to give it a straight 3 out of 5 screams, right up the middle. That way I'm not committing to good or bad. I'm just saying it is what it is. But that might alter in the future. Who knows? So, Ike, what are you giving Evil Dead Burn?
I think I do have to agree. I think a standard 3 out of 5 would be the best case here. I think that, given what we saw and without making any assumptions for the future, 3 out of 5. I think that's fair. It was still enjoyable. I would rewatch this movie. I will rewatch this movie. It's just that it was missing that flair that pushes it into the stratosphere of a 4. So 3.5. I'm sorry, 3 out of 5.
There you go. So again, if you've not seen it, or even if you have, just go watch it again, though. I still want it to perform good in the box office. So go to theaters and watch it. Next episode, we are reviewing the movie Faces of Death, which is coming out on what, Shudder, right? Is that correct? Shudder?
Yep.
Shudder. So if you've not seen it yet, go watch it on Shudder or give it a rewatch. We will be reviewing that next episode. We'd like to give a thank you to our wives and all of you listeners and followers for all of your support that you give us. And speaking of support, make sure you subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the Number 2 and Screams, and you will find us. And also, one of the best ways to support us is to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. If the option is there, give us a rating and review. That helps us so much. So as we close out, Ike, anything you want to add?
Nothing much on my end. Keep watching horror. Keep supporting horror. There's so much stuff online, Shudder, Screambox. There's free stuff on Tubi and all these other, streaming platforms. And, of course, even out in the theaters, continue to support horror in theaters. Because the more we support, the more we get.
That's right. And don't only support it on the movie vein, right? Because there are also books out there. There's merchandise out there. And there's music out there. So as we close this episode, we do want to share that there is a new song from our friends in the band Savage Remains. Now, Savage Remains is a punk band. Lots of what they do is pop culture, horror-centric, very cool stuff. They're very talented. And there might be a surprise from Savage Remains as it relates to Listen to the Screams of the Future. Stand by for that. But they do have a new single that is coming out on the 17th, which is the day after this episode drops, if you're listening. So if you're listening to this on the 16th, when this episode drops, you get to hear this song a day early. The song is called Frog Brothers. Now, everybody that knows horror, right? Frog Brothers, Lost Boys. We talked about Corey Feldman earlier. Here you go, right? This is a great song. Again, it officially releases on July 17th. On that date, you can check it out. You can download it. You can do whatever you want to do on all your favorite streaming platforms for music. You can check out Savage Remains and all their music on Instagram and YouTube at Savage Remains Band. And of course, like I said, they're on Spotify, Apple Music, all the other music streaming services. So once I give the close, you're used to our usual music. Nah, today you get to hear Frog Brothers from Savage Remains. Guys, don't check out early. Check the song out. It's very cool. Thank you to them. They're big fans. They like our podcast. They reach out to us with things like this because they're like, hey, this fits your thing, right? You want to put this out there? We work with them. It's very cool. This is the brotherhood that is horror. So we are going to close out the show with Frog Brothers. So stick around. But wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe. Have many pleasant nightmares.